Welcome back to the Incredibles commentary. To synchronize the second part of this commentary with your DVD, pause the video where the two velocipods collide after Dash falls into the water, and when I say play, click play. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play.
So this is probably Violet's scene right here, just before Dash comes.
Mm-hmm.
But her fighting style is defensive, not offensive.
Yeah. If the entire family was fighting, Violet would usually protect everyone else while Mr. Incredible, Elastigirl, and Dash attacks.
Yeah, and she does so later.
Now we get to see them all fighting at the same time.
Yeah, probably one of the best images, which is all them lined up ready to fight. It really says a lot about them as a family, a united family of superheroes.
I think in a way this is really the dictionary definition of a family movie for me, because it shows how important and how great families really are.
Too bad Syndrome had to interrupt, just when it was getting interesting and exciting.
Yeah, bit of a killjoy. One of my favorite lines, the got busy line. He seems like a teenager to me, just a bit, like, childish and not quite an adult. And he's still got childhood issues, obviously, too.
Kind of an evil laugh.
When Syndrome says no one will be, I think that he should have said, you won't be, as in Mr. Incredible and his family won't be super. Because I think that's what he really meant.
Yeah, I was kind of confused with that line too.
I think there's a scene at the start of the movie where Helen says to Dash, everyone's special, and then he just replies, which is another way of saying no one is. I think this is sort of a reference to that earlier scene.
I think it means that Syndrome shares the same misconception as a 10-year-old boy.
I've always thought that when Dash says that means that no one is, he's really speaking for Brad Bird and is really speaking on behalf of the director's opinion of what is special and what is mediocre. And the separation between the two.
I find it kind of random that there's just a random Winnebago in the garage of a jet hangar.
If you listen closely, just before Mr. Incredible gets in the van, they're playing a drinking game. So every time someone runs or screams or something, you have to take a drink. I just find that pretty funny.
Well, it's pretty smart, too.
The whole package, then. Where did she get the headband from?
You know what? I don't think it was ever revealed in the movie where she got it. But I like to think that it probably came with her outfit.
Well, the fact that the headband can disappear is... Maybe that means that Edna did make it.
Yeah. So funny.
The, syndromes, I mean, not syndrome, Frozone's wife is actually, like, she's a librarian or something at Pixar, someone who organizes or works in the archives, of Pixar. I like how Syndrome's trying to show that he's the superhero by saving the mum and the baby, but then he just throws the car behind him, hurting more people.
And you probably learned the hard way, don't build a robot that's smarter than you.
Yeah, don't build a robot that can learn.
This must be really, really painful for Helen, holding the van up.
I think this scene probably got one of the biggest laughs in the whole movie.
Yeah, right before the Winnebago the van lands on the highway, that's where everyone thought the Pizza Planet truck was. Just for a very split second, that's where you can see it. But apparently, Martin from Pixar Planet confirmed that the Pizza Planet truck is not in The Incredibles.
Didn't they say it's in the background, it's a blur, and it's painted white? I mean, well, it's not really a Pizza Planet truck, is it?
No, not really.
If it's painted white.
I mean, you would suspect Pixar would make it a little more obvious.
I still believe that it's in there, on some level.
Yeah, I like to think that too, but we'll see when the Blu-ray comes out.
I like how they were driving around the city, superheroes driving around in a van in a way to get around the city rather than flying.
I know that line, "I can't lose you again," made a lot of people on Pixar Planet really cry. It's one of the most powerful lines in the entire movie.
The one for me is when Mr. Incredible says, "I can't lose you again, I'm not strong enough." Because he's Mr. Incredible, he's meant to be strong. But the thing, his Achilles heel, is his family, so... That's what got me.
When Violet got knocked out, that was when I knew that Donald Joy was not going to take any mercy on anybody, no matter if you're a kid or an adult. It's one goal is to kill and destroy.
Mm.
So I kind of got scared when Violet got knocked out.
Yeah, it just wants to follow its directive, I guess. And it doesn't have emotions, so whatever it takes. I've always thought Frozone should have had more of a role rather than a secondary role.
At least he can still fit in his old costume, though.
Yeah, I don't think he put on any weight between the glory days and the present. Anyway.
When Bob throws a remote control, like a quarterback throwing a football, that was one of my favorite parts because when the movie was out, it was football season in America. And I'm an avid football fan.
And it also goes back to when they were playing, he was playing football with Dash in the, Life's Incredible Again sequence. Yeah.
I know Doc was supposed to make an appearance here, but I don't remember exactly where. From Cars.
He might have already been, actually. Oh, there he is. I saw him.
I think I missed it. I need to go back next time I watch this movie. There are some times where I see him, but I always forget where he is.
Oh yeah, and here we have the final cameo of the late Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnston, two of the legendary Disney's nine old men. They also did the voices of the train engineers in Brad Bird's previous film, The Iron Giant.
I've always thought that Rick Dekker was modeled after someone, but I don't know who. Or it just looks like he was modeled after someone.
The part with Violet and Bob, that's probably one of the very few father-daughter moments we see in the movie, because we see a lot of Violet and Helen. And I'm hoping if there is going to be an incredible sequel, we see a little more father-daughter relationship.
It depends on how old they are. I would like the kids to be maybe 3 years older, or maybe five. Then Jack-Jack would be five.
You guys have all seen Jack-Jack Attack, right?
Yeah, of course. It's one of my favorite Pixar shorts.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Jack-Jack can do a lot of things. Fire, metal skin, then Devil Jack-Jack. And,
do you think his powers will change?
Probably.
Oh yeah, and Syndrome's downfall, of course, his cape.
The cape.
Yeah. No capes, darling. I try.
I wonder if they'll find a way to bring Syndrome back or whether he truly was dead. I mean, I don't think they could have shown that he died unless they showed it. Even more, but...
I believe he died. But the old saying goes, no body, death is suspect.
Mm. I think he was a good villain, but he's had his time.
Yeah.
It's time for a new one. Tony Reidinger, a lot of girls on the Pixar Planet forums have a crush on him too. Bit of a dreamboat.
He's voiced by one of Brad Bird's sons, Michael Bird. So that was cool. How he got all of his sons involved in The Incredibles. His eldest son, Michael, is Tony Reidinger. I think his middle son, Jack, is named after Jack-Jack. And, Nicholas Bird voice Rusty.
I always thought it was Reidinger. It's Ryinger? Hmm.
Ryinger.
You know that?
Oh, kind of okay. Cute how Violet's the one that ended up asking him out on the date instead of Tony asking her out.
Yeah, she's the one with the confidence now. It's weird seeing the Incredibles in their normal clothes instead of their superhero suits, isn't it?
Yeah. And you would think that their mask is the only thing that's hiding their identities, so wouldn't they be easily recognizable?
Yeah. It's like Clark Kent, he takes his glasses off and on, and no one recognizes him. Well, that's it. Yep.
I have to say, I really pity those folks who always leave the theater when the end credits start, because they're really missing something here.
Yeah. I'm forced to stay and watch the entire thing.
Really?
Well, actually, because I have a family member that works at Pixar, I've mentioned it before, and I always wait to see his name.
Oh, okay.
And, but for The Incredibles, I actually chose to wait and stay for the entire credits because, The End Credits is actually my favorite song that Michael Giacchino has ever composed. So yeah.
Yeah, me too. It just brings together all of the good Incredibles themes. And Michael Giacchino does really good credit. See?
Absolutely.
I wonder if, the credits were animated before the music was written, or they wrote the music to the credits.
I think this is just my guess, but I think the music was done first, then the credits were animated. Just sync everything
me too.
Up.
Especially when it's got Jack. Like, walking along, I think the music was done first.
Well, guys, I hope you all enjoyed the Incredibles commentary. This is TSS, the Star Swordsman.
And this has been Rachel, also known as Rachel Cakes 1985.
This is David, also known as Totoro.
And this is Peter, also known as Quicks Next to Me.
We hope you guys enjoyed. See you all around. Take care. Peace out. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.